We're holding on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom of a Truma. Just by the way, to finish off, to correct something from yesterday when we were talking about Kalim and Gemara and Batara, about the din of that Kalim that finished being manufactured Batara. We were trying to prove the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer when it implies it doesn't need head of Shemesh. I kind of misunderstood the Gemara's attempted proof of that. And didn't really say it, right? The attempted proof was like this. Since Rabbi Eliezer is saying you just toivel them, you don't make them tummy first like Rabbi Yeshua is saying, but then they don't need head of Shemesh, then the implication is they don't need, on the contrary, the implication is they do need head of Shemesh. Our Mishnah implies that they don't, and you would have to say that they need head of Shemesh like anything else that's tummy. And the question is, if you do that, then how are you doing any different than how are you demonstrating against the tzedukim? And therefore, we answered that's what the answer came. That nevertheless, we don't require a cab head of Shemesh. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees with that. You don't need a head of Shemesh for them, even though we're holding them to a higher standard of Tumah. We're holding that they're like Tmei Sheretz, or in the end, we said like Tmei Meis. Nevertheless, we're not requiring a head of Shemesh. First of all, because we don't anyway for Kalim and Gemara and Batara, we never do. And second of all, specifically in the case of Par Adumah, we anyway want to demonstrate against the Tzedukim. That was basically the idea. Okay, so now obviously the whole thing is the Rabbanan, but yeah, I mean, what we were trying to prove, we thought that when the Mishnah implies they don't need Head of Shemesh, that Rabbi Eliezer, we thought that Rabbi Eliezer would hold it does need. And we demonstrated that in fact he would say it, he would also agree it doesn't. So we're holding it with Truma in Nitmis Chula. We said that another din where Kodesh is more stringent than Truma is by Truma. We said if one hand is Tamei, the other hand remains Tahar. But by Kodesh, we said if one becomes Tamei, you have to total both of them. Amar Rav Shizvi, b'chiburin shanu. This is only talking about when they're connected. Aval shaloi b'chiburin loy. But if they're not connected, then no. Then even by Kodesh, there's not an issue. Now, what do we mean connected and not? So Rashi says it means like this. You have your right hand is touching Kodesh, at the same time your right hand is Tahor. At the same time, your left hand, which is Tameh, which became Tameh from previously touching something that's Tameh, like a sefer or something, is touching your right hand. We're saying that Midrabanan, we're making a mila for Kodesh, therefore, and saying therefore that the one hand is Matameh the other, and in turn it's Matameh the Kodesh. But shaloi b'chiburin, if you just have your Tahor hand is touching the Kodesh, your Tameh hand is not touching anything else, then it's okay, even by Kodesh. That's Rashi. Why is it a Kodesh? I mean, the other hand is nowhere near it. Why? So, however, having said that, Tosfos asks, Tosfos has a couple of problems with that, and therefore Tosfos explains differently. What it is that it's the other way around. If you have one hand touch something which is Tameh, and the other hand touches it, then that hand becomes Tameh as well. So the same scenario as Rashi, except instead of you touching Kodesh, you're touching Tumah with one hand, where obviously that hand becomes Tameh, and the other hand touches that hand also. When we talk about something Tameh, I mean, it has to be something that will only make your hands Tameh, so like Mashkim Tmei, or whatever. It won't be, you know, we're not talking about touching a Sheret or something like that makes you Tameh Deraita. But so according to Tosfos, if your right hand is touching something Tameh, your left hand is touching that right hand, both of them become Tameh as far as Kodesh and need to be totaled, whereas with Truma, it would not be like that.
So when you do this, one is Tameh and one is not Tameh,
they both become Tameh.
So Kodesh only.
That's what we're saying, yeah. That's according to Tosfos. Then we have a third explanation. The Baal Amar says that what it means is that when the one hand touches the other, if you have this hand touch Tumah, it's not touching it right now, but before it touched Tumah. Now, when this hand touches it, then it becomes Tameh, but not so long as they don't touch. That's what he says, means b'chiburim. And then there's yet a fourth understanding that the Rambam makes a distinction between whether the one hand is wet or not. If the one hand, which is Tameh, is wet, and then you touch the other hand with it, then the other hand will become Tameh. But if they're both dry, then not. Then it doesn't matter. The Ravid argues with him on that. Where does he get that from? He says, but this comes up as practical halacha in the halachas of Netilas Yadayim. We know the Alter Rebbe makes a point of mentioning in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, you have to be careful, he says, after you've washed one hand, not to let the other hand touch it. Why not? Based on this, because then the water on your hand, on your washed hand is tahor, fine, because after you've washed three times on the one hand or twice according to everybody else, then the water on your hand is tahor. But now if you touch it with your tameh hand, you're making that water tameh and it'll be rimatame your hand.
And if you hold the keli
That's another matter. If you hold the keli and your hand gets wet from the water on the keli, the water on the keli is also tameh, because only the water that falls on your hand is tahor. So yeah, that's a different matter. So that all of those things are why you have the whole business that you see people being careful when they hold the kvart, to hold it with a towel or something in order that they don't have in order to avoid this whole issue. Esabaya, Sabaya asks on Roshizbi. A brisa says, Yad neguva metame chavacha latame lakodesh. A dry hand can be metame the other hand to make it tome as far as kodesh, meaning that the kodesh will become a revi. Avalola truma, but not as far as truma. Dibir Rabbi. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a lifter, I'm a little tamer. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, actually, what it'll be is the other hand will make the kodesh possible. Sorry, the previous case, latame la kodesh, means it'll make the kodesh a shlishi, but it won't do anything to truma. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, lifter, I'm a little tamer. It'll make the kodesh a revi, but not a shlishi, where revi is called possible again because it can't make anything else tamer. So what's the point? Iyamet b'shleim. Now the point was we started by mentioning yad neguva, dry hand.
Right.
So iyamet b'shleim shaloi b'chiburin. If you say that when we say that the two hands we said in Mishnah that when one hand is tameh the other hand is tameh, if we're saying that it doesn't matter whether they're connected, whether they're touching or not, fine. Hainu rabusid neguva. Then that's the chiddush of the case with dry. Even though. Both of them are dry. There's no possibility that either hand touched liquids. Nevertheless, we're still applying this mila that one hand makes the other hand tummy. But that would be the chiddush we're saying. We're saying there's a mila. The chachamim made a mila when it comes to kodesh. That even though they're dry, nevertheless we're going to say that it's tummy. But if you say that in any case it only applies when one hand touches the other, then what's the chiddush if it's dry? The first hand is anyway a sheni. It'll anyway be able to be metame the kodesh without having any liquid involved. If you take that dry hand and use it to touch kodesh, of course the kodesh is going to become a shlishi. There's no question about it because your hand is sheni.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the question. If you're saying that, when do we say that the other hand becomes tamei is only if b'chiburin, only if one is touching the other, according to all the different possibilities I've mentioned over here, then why do we b'chlal need to mention whether it's dry or not? It would be the same thing, whether it's dry or whether it's wet. Either way, the one hand is tamei as a sheni, and it'll be matame the food.
So matame the hand, one hand matame the other hand, it has to be dry.
No. Well, the Mishnah, the Brice had mentioned specifically that they're dry. The point is, if the hand is wet, the Brice seems to be implying that if it's wet, then there's no chiddush in it. The chiddush is even though it's dry, so there's no liquid to transmit the tumah from the
hand that touches the kodesh, even if it's dry, and it has been touched by a hand that is tummy.
So now, if you're saying that the two hands have to be touching, if there's liquid involved, if one of them is not dry, then anyway, the liquid is going to become, the liquid is going to become a rishon, and the hand is going to become a sheni again, of course. Yeah. So the Gemara points out, itmar nami, they said, so the Gemara seems to leave this question unresolved for the moment, and in fact different Mephoroshim talk about does that mean the halacha is or isn't like Rav Shizvi. Do we say that Rav Shizvi has been disproved or maybe not? Because now now we have Itmar Nami, they said also, Amar Shlokish, the Chachamim said that there was a related machloikis. Now, when we look at this machloikis, on the face of it, it does not look like it's related, really. Let's first learn machloikis, and then we'll see what we mean by this. This that we're saying that one hand makes the other one tame is only your own hand. But if you touch somebody else's hand, then you don't make it tame. So if your one hand, which is tame, touches your friend's hand, which is tame, then it doesn't. Then not, no, sorry, your friend's hand is tar, nothing happens. Rabbi Yochanan Rama Echad Yodei VeEchad Yad Chavei, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it doesn't matter whether it's your hand or whether it's somebody else's hand. But Oisa Hayad, either way, it has to be that very same hand that became Tomei. So if your right hand is Tomei and your left hand is Tahar, it has to be that you're touching your friend's hand with your right hand in order for it to be a problem. But if you touch him with your left hand, even though we're saying the left hand itself, even though the Mishnah seemed to imply that the left hand itself can also make Kodesh Posel, no, but when it comes to Chavere, touching, when it comes to Chavere, you have to be touching with the with, you, with the hand that's coming.
The same thing would apply for Kodesh and not apply for Chavere.
Yeah. The same thing, yeah. And furthermore, that all it does is make the Kodesh possible and not Tommy. Like we said a minute ago, it makes it a Revi, not a Shlishi. Now, how does the Machlokas relate to what we were talking about? So some of the Poshim say, in fact, it doesn't relate. We take out the word, they take out the word Nami in the Gemara over here. They say that, fine, Rav Shizbi said his statement about Chiburim, not Chiburim. Abaya slogged it up based on that Raisa. That's it. Forget about what Rav Shizbi said. Now we're starting a new discussion. Other Mephoshim say that, no, there is a connection. The Nami does belong over there. The discussion is not over yet. We find that Rav Yochanan seems to, one way of looking at it, I think the C.S. Yitzchak says, that it comes out that Rav Yochanan is saying something similar to Rav Shizbi. That only when you have one hand touching the other one,
right,
does it apply? There's different other possibilities of explaining how exactly this machloikus sheds light on the previous one. Anyway,
the simplest way of shedding light on the machloikus would be what?
That would be one of the simpler ways is to say that Rav Yochanan is effectively saying the same thing as Rav Shizbi. So therefore, we schlogged up Rav Shizbi from a bride. So we're still going to continue the discussion over here and find that in the end the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Now, so we said this that we said. Where does Rav Yochanan get this from? That it doesn't matter whether it's your hand or your friend's hand. He says, "Mimai, midikatani sefer." Because what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah had said that by truma, if one hand is tamei, the other hand is fine. But by kodesh, though, if one hand becomes tamei, then you have to total both of them. And it continues, shahayad matama chaver tala kodesh avaloi latruma. Because one hand is able to make the other one tamei as far as kodesh, but not as far as truma. Now we have to ask, kol trulamali hatana leresha. Now, what does the Mishnah need to add that clause for? If we say once we said that when one hand is Tomei, you have to total both of them for Kodeshim, that would seem to imply that one hand makes the other one Tomei. Elolav shmami no lasui yad chaveri. Evidently, the Mishnah is evidently by adding that last piece, shayad matam chaver tola kodesh, means to tell you not only your own other hand, but even somebody else's hand would also become Tomei. So therefore, that proves Rabbi Yochanan's point that you can be matame somebody else's hand as well by touching it with your Tomejika hand. But what do we see from that? Again, according to this explanation that we just said from the C.F. Yitzchak, we see, therefore, there does have to be touching involved. So that supports Rav Shizvi's point that there has to be touching involved. It's not just your right hand is Tomei, automatically your left hand is Tomei as well.
Doesn't have to be touching.
It does have to be touching. That was Rav Shizvi's point.
And Rav Yochanan's point?
Rav Yochanan's point is similar, but he's focusing instead on somebody else's hand. Similar idea. Just Rav Shizbi is saying that if your one hand touches the other one, it makes a Tomei, according to the four different possibilities that we mentioned. And Rav Yochanan is adding, similarly, if your Tomei hand touches somebody else's hand, it also makes a Tomei.
So they both have to be touching.
That's the point. That's the point. That's the Itzmar Nami. That's why we're saying that this Machloikas sheds light on the previous statement of Rav Shizbi. Even though Abaya seems to have contradicted and schlogged up what Rav Shizbi said, because he said a braisa seems to imply otherwise, so talked about dry hands, but the fact Rav Yochanan finds support in the wording of our Mishnah, and therefore we can still, after all, support what Rav Shizbi said.
Yeah.
And the Gemara points out, we're on Chazal and Amud Beis, four lines from the top, five lines, six lines rather, v'at Rish Lakish hadabay, and in fact Rish Lakish eventually changed his mind. So this machloikus that Rish Lakish is saying, if your Tomei hand touches somebody else's hand, it does not make it Tomei as far as Kodesh, and certainly not as far as Truma, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying it does, Rish Lakish changed his mind and agreed with Rabbi Yochanan. How do we know this? Well, how do we know this? Because Rish Lakish, eventually Rish Lakish said, it doesn't matter whether it's your own hand or somebody else's hand, but it has to be that very same hand that was Tomei. Lifsol, and all it does is make the Kodesh Posel a Rabbi, in other words, Avalolatami, but not to make it outright Tomei, which would be a Shlishi or higher. Even though your hand is a sheni, it doesn't make the original Tomei hand was a sheni. The hand that touches it presumably would become a shlishi, although there's really usually no such thing as a shlishi by hand. So it'll make the Kodesh a Ravi. It won't make it a shlishi.
So why is Rishlakish
changing his mind?
Changing his mind.
He accepted, maybe because he accepted Rabbi Yochanan's deal from the Mishnah. Whatever it is.
It seems to be as a consequence of Rabbi Yochanan's changing of Rabbi Yochanan's.
Yeah, maybe once Rabbi Yochanan found that, then Rish Lakish. Yeah,
have to change his mind.
Could be. Yeah. Like Moe points out, the lifts of Lava Lola Tamei Tanoi. Actually, this business about whether the second hand is able to make Kodesh only Posel versus Tamei, that's actually Machlokes Tanoim. This that we're saying, that the Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both are saying in the end that it's lifso lavalo tame, that it only makes it Ravi, not a Shlishi. There's actually a machlokes tanoim on the subject. It's none. We learn in a Mishnah in Yodayim. Kol posel b'truma, anything that's able to make truma posel, meaning that it's a sheni or higher, metame Yodayim li'es shnias, it will make your hands tame, and they will become a sheni, even though usually you would think, for example, you know, a Rishon begets a Sheni begets a Shlishi, etc. Here we're saying that something which is Sheni makes your hands a Sheni. It stays on the same level. Your hands don't go down a level. Stam Yadayim, that's a different matter. That's Stam Yadayim. If you don't know where your hands have been, yeah, then they're Shnias. But we're talking about, so if you touch, for example, if you touch, for example, liquids that are Tamei, liquids that are Tomei and Midrabban and Arishin, so okay. But whatever, you touch anything that you touch something that touched liquids that are Tomei Midrabbanan, the liquids are Arishin, the Keli, let's say, is a Sheni, and your hands touch it, they also become a Sheni. Way back in Brachos, the Gemara had a sugya about that's why there was a machlokes Shama Basilil about whether you should wash your hands first or make kiddush first. It had to do with this whole issue of whether the outside of the cup is going to become Tomei or not. And the Mishnah continues, V'yad metame chaberta, one hand can be metame the other, one divir Rabbi Yeshua. V'chamem yadayim shniyah, say, and the chum say, no, your hands are a sheni, v'ein sheni, or it's a sheni, and a sheni does not make another sheni. Take out the word b'cholon over here, we're not talking about cholon over here, we're talking about kodesh. My love, now presumably, doesn't the chum mean sheni hu delay ovid, or shlishi ovid? The implication sounds like it won't make your other hand a sheni, because one sheni, because your one hand a sheni won't make the other hand a sheni, but it sounds like a chachamim are saying that it will become a shlishi. So therefore, if we have that Rabbi Yeshua seems to be saying that both hands are sheni. That both hands are a sheni. The chachamim, it sounds like they're saying that the hand becomes a shlishi. Well, then, respectively, then, when that second hand touches kodesh, it's going to make it a shlishi according to Rabbi Yeshua and a ravi according to the chachamim. That would be exactly what we were just talking about. The Gemara says, no. Dilma lo sheni ovid v'lo shlishi. No, maybe what the chachamim mean is on the contrary. No, one hand does not make the other one either a sheni or a shlishi. It doesn't make it a sheni because, as they said, one sheni doesn't make another sheni. It always has to go down a level. And it doesn't make it a shlishi, because there's no such thing as hands that are a shlishi. Hands are a sheni or nothing. So therefore, you could argue that the chachamim are arguing with this that we say in our Mishnah, that one hand is able to be metame, the other one as far as kodesh. The chachamim maybe don't agree with that at all. They would say the second hand remains tar, as long as, of course, there isn't any liquid involved, because then that's a different matter. Yeah. Yes, according to them, if one hand touches the other one, nothing happens. Unlike our Mishnah. So you can't prove that there's any machlokas on this subject. Ela kihani tanoi. So no, but rather we have this other machlokas tanoim that bears on this. Titania. Yad neguru metame es chaverta. A dry hand, this is the bright that we quoted on Amud Aleph, a dry hand can be metame the other one. Latame bakodesh, to make kodesh tomei, meaning an actual shlishi. Avaloi latruma, but it doesn't do anything as far as truma. Divir Rebbe. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hodaima, Oisa Yad, only that original hand, which was Tomei, Lifsol, and it'll make the Kodesh a Ravi, Avalo the Tomei, but not to make a Tomei as a Shlishi that can be Matamei something else. So there we see that Rebbe holds that the Kodesh that was touched by the other hand will become a Shlishi, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds it becomes a Ravi.
Dry hands.
We're talking about, yeah. So that's what we said. If there's liquid involved, then if there's liquid involved, then the liquid becomes a Rishon. Then for sure the other hand becomes a Sheni anyway. There's no question about it. Next. Another one of the milus in the Mishnah, we're still on the 11 milus between Kodesh and Truma, was Ochlin Ochlim Naguvin Biyadayim Misu Avos Chula. You're allowed to eat dry food of Truma with unclean hands. So you didn't wash your hands, but you're still allowed to eat the food dry. And at this point, we assume that dry means it has never been Mokshel Kabel Truma, so there's no way for it to become Tame. By Truma, you're allowed to do that. By Truma, you're not allowed to do that by Kodesh.
And when his hands are dry, they're not wet, obviously.
Yeah, it would have to be his hands are dry, and it would have to be that the food is dry, yeah. However, Tanya, Omer of Chanina ben Antignus, what do you mean, B'chiyesh ne'gubal ha'kodesh? What is the Mishnah even saying that you're not allowed to eat? The Mishnah is saying you're allowed to eat food which is dry, which was never mukshal kabel truma for truma, but not when it comes to truma, but not when it comes to kodesh. By kodesh, there's no concept of dry versus wet anyway. The chibas hakodesh, which we talked about yesterday, the fact that kodesh has such a high standard that people are so fond of it. We're going to have even soon about how amei haaretz respect the kedusha of kodesh. That itself makes it that it's capable of becoming tamei. Mefoshim discussed the question whether that's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but anyway, whatever it is. Whether it's dry or whether it ever touched liquid. Even though Minatora, generally speaking, food has to become wet with one of the shiva mashkim to become tamei, when it comes to kodesh, that rule doesn't apply.
What is
the example? Kodesh would be, for example, meat of Kobanis. Meat of Kobanis, the flour from a Koban Mincha, etc. Yeah.
Not in your house.
Well, it could be in your house as well if you live in Yerushalayim. It would be Kodeshim Kalim, pieces of Shlomim, pieces of Koban Pesach, etc. All that was a Kodesh. Yeah. So what is the Mishnah even talking about dry versus not? Some of Arshim say, okay, maybe that's exactly what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Maybe the Mishnah is trying to tell us that there is this concept, but there's a difference between dry and wet by Kodeshim. The answer is, they say, then the Mishnah shouldn't have said it in such an odd way. You're allowed to eat it dry with tumadik a hand. It should have just said straight out, Kodesh doesn't need Hechsher the Kabel Truma. Truma does. The fact that it says it in such a roundabout way implies that the Mishnah is saying something else. The answer is, Leitzricha, Kogon Shetachav Leichaveir Lefech Piv. You could have, for example, one person take the food and sticks it into the other person's mouth. So the one who has Tamadika hands, let's say, is not touching the food himself. Only the other person who has Tamadika hands is taking the food and sticking it in. You might have thought there's not a problem. That's the Chiddush, that it's not that there is. Oy Shetachav Hula Asme Bekusha Vakarka. Or you could have an example. A person himself took a skewer or a knitting needle or something like a long skinny piece of wood like a stick like you roast marshmallows on or whatever. And you stick the food in, but then again you're not touching the food, and what you're using the skewer that you're using to hold it with is not makabel truma because it's a piece of wood, it's a wooden keli which doesn't have a cleat kibble, there's no receptacle in it. What happens then? Then suppose now the person, while he's eating this kodesh or truma, as the case may be, he wants to now eat together with it a piece of onion, a piece of radish or a piece of onion of chulin, which okay is a common thing to do. That's like you're eating some meat. Let's say you want to give it some flavor to it.
Tznoin is called.
That's tznoin. Tznoin means a radish. No, or a bottle or an onion. What's the problem? When you're going to do that, what happens if, while you're eating this stuff together, so you're eating the truma or you're eating the kodesh, meanwhile you're taking a piece of chulin and putting it in your mouth, the chulin you're not picking up with the skewer, you have no reason to, there's no particular need to keep chulin tahor. You're going to stick it in your mouth, you may come in contact, you may touch the saliva that's inside your mouth. That saliva will be mashkim. Your hands will become tamei, they'll be matame the kodesh.
You can see it then the sweat of your
No, because the sweat is, first of all, your hands are not necessarily sweaty, but you definitely have saliva in your mouth. I'm not so sure that sweat counts as masculine anyway. I'm not sure about that. There are certain liquids that come from a human body that are considered water and some that are not. The Mishnah in Machshirim, I think, lists the details which ones are which. I don't remember, but yeah. Anyway. So, l'kodesh gozru b'hu rabbanan. So when it comes to kodesh, the rabbanan made this gzera that you don't want to accidentally be metame the kodesh. L'truma lo gozru b'hu rabbanan. When it comes to truma, they didn't make any gzera. So therefore, you're allowed to eat. Therefore, your hands are tame as long as you're picking up the truma with a skewer or a fork or what have you, something that's not metame truma, then you're good. But by kodesh, not. Now, why are we talking about all the Mephoroshim ask why Dafka would it have to be that you're using a metal skewer, for example, even if you're using a wooden one, let's say. Suppose you use a metal one, it's Makabal Tumma, how's it going to become tummy from your hand? There's a lot of different answers. Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to make a chiddush that maybe in a case like this, when it comes to kodesh, maybe we do say that kalim can become tummy from your hands, even though usually kalim can only become tummy from an avatoma. Everybody else argues with him on that. He also argues that there might be liquid involved over here, and then you'd have a whole different issue. So therefore, if you're using a wooden skewer, you avoid all those problems. Also, I think he says something along the lines of this way, by Dafka, by using something that's not Makabal Truma, you'll remember, hopefully, not to stick your hand into your mouth and accidentally be Matami the Truma. But by Kodesh, we don't even want to rely on that. The last one we had on Mishnah, the last of the Milas, we said Ha'onin Mechutz Kippurim Chula, that we said an Onin, or somebody who has not yet brought their Korbanos, where neither of them is allowed to eat Kodesh, we said that Midrabanan, they need to Tovel before they eat Kodesh.
The whole body.
My timer. The reason is kiven da ad ha'idno havo asuri, because up until now they were also to eat kodshim. Therefore, atzuchinu rabbanan tzvilo. Therefore, the rabbanan, as a matter of change of status, they made it they have to tovel first. The Rambam says the idea. It's called similar to what we had in the previous perek about hesach hadas. That during this time, when the person was an onen or the person was a mechutz kippurim, like they're not careful to keep themselves on the level of tahara to be able to eat kodesh, because anyway can't eat kodesh. So therefore, by the time they finish bringing their korban or the aninus is over or whatever, they may have accidentally touched something or done something that made them tummy for kodesh without realizing it, and therefore the rabbanan made them tovel. Okay, so now the previous Mishnah talked about the advantages, the chumras that kodesh has over truma. Now this next Mishnah and the next couple of Mishnayos, almost until the end of the perek, are going to talk about the other way around. There's certain areas in which truma is more stringent than kodesh. Yeah. The idea is we've been talking off and on in the last couple of blots about the idea that amei oretz are considered tamei midrabanan. By and large, we consider them as if they were zavim. Not completely, because, for example, a zav, if he carries something, it's a heset, it's called, if he moves something, makes a tameh, the chum didn't make that zeiran ame aris, because otherwise the Tosfos had said a chavu would never be able to find any porters to carry anything for him without it becoming tameh. So there's a couple of exceptions, but by and large, we say that ame aris are tameh, and we can't rely on them for matters of tumah v'tahara. But there's certain areas in which we do. We said before that we talked the other day when we were talking about Tovel and Kalim inside Kalim. We said that the Amei Oret are more careful about Kodesh because what we said over there is actually we want to be Makel because we don't want them to go off and build their own Beis Mikdash, thinking that, you know, we're not trusting them on Kodesh, and whereas with Truma, they always figure they have Amei Oret to give it to. But nevertheless, Even with Truma, there are certain times a year when we do rely on them as far as Tara. The Mishnah says, Choymer b'Truma, there's a stringency when it comes to Truma over Kodesh, should be Yehuda, ne'emonen al Taras yayin v'shem en koyim ha'shana. In Yehuda, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, we'll talk about in the Gemara why only that part, that you can trust the Amei Aret about the Tara of wine and oil throughout the year. Meaning, we're talking about wine and oil of Kodesh. So Rashi says, that we're going to talk about in a minute, and then the mission is going to continue, that there's a certain time of year, the time when you're normally pressing the grapes and the olives. During that time of year, usually the Amei Aret are willing to have the Chaverim supervise them becoming tahor and making their kalim tahor, so that the wine and the oil can be produced for tahara. That way they're able to give terumah with tahara, and that way also if they want to set it aside as kodesh, they'll be able to.
Not the rest of the year.
So suppose then an amaoret, during that time when he's pressing his, when he's pressing and making his wine, he decides that he's going to make it hektish. Then at that point, even if he brings it to us some other time during the year, we can accept it from him and accept that he kept it in a state of tahara.
Because
he was supervised at the time of the pressing, and because they're careful about kodesh, therefore we'll accept that he was careful about it even for the couple of months after that. During the time when they're pressing the grapes and the olives, we will trust them even about terumah. Because, like I just said, everybody makes sure to be matara themselves and their kalim, and therefore we can accept terumah from them.
Wine and oil.
These are the only things we're talking about. We're only talking about liquids over here about containers with liquids in them. We're not talking about dried fruit. We said the other day that we can trust an amaret to say that fruit never became wet. It never became mukshal lekabel truma. So if an amaret grows a field of wheat and he's bringing truma to a kayin of it, fine. You can trust him to say that it never got wet, and therefore the wheat will be tahor and there's no problem. But wine and oil are able to be mekabel truma. And liquids are more easily able to become tameh. They don't need heksher. So therefore, you can only trust them when it comes to terumah a certain time of the year. We're saying kodesh, you can trust them all year round. The reason why we trust them b'shata gittos for terumah is actually two things. Number one, there is this fact that the chaverim go and are matar, that they go and are matar themselves down the aret. But there's also another factor. If it was just that, we still might not rely on that because okay, what happens still? And I'm a aret is not necessarily careful. What if he became talmid without anybody realizing? The other reason is because if we were going to say even that time of year we don't trust them on tara, then you're closing off most of the truma in Eretz Yisrael to kohenim. You can't use truma when it's talmid. All you can do with it is burn it. Or otherwise dispose of it. Most of the farmers in Eretz Yisrael in that time were Amei Aretz. If you're going to say that there was no time when you're able to accept truma of wine and oil from Amei Aretz, and wine and oil in the usual way, they don't usually give truma, we'll talk about in the Gemara, that sometimes you might have a farmer gives a little bit of truma, a small amount of truma as raw grapes, or as fresh grapes or fresh olives, but usually not. Usually they press it first, and then they give truma.
What's the common tummy eating with
the rest of the pulling? Can't eat trauma, which is tummy.
But it's reverse logic, because on the one hand you're saying you don't accept anything from the RS because you assume the tummy, and on the other hand you're saying, yeah, but if you assume the tummy, then you won't get any sugar.
No, so that's why we don't. But that's why we don't do it all year round. Only the shasa gittes, where we also have a factor that they are matara themselves, then we can put those two things together and allow ourselves to accept.
How can you say that one logic is good for one part of the year and not for the other part of the year?
Because that's what it is. We're saying that normally we wouldn't use that logic, because after all, tameh is tameh. But Bashasa Gittis Vahabadim, where we also have the factor that they are matara themselves, then we can use those two things in combination to say, fine, this time of year we can accept truma from them. However, Avru Gittis Vahabadim, once the time of pressing is over, a Gittis, by the way, a gas, by the way, is a wine press, and a bad is an olive press. So once the wine press and olive press time is over, if an Ama Oret brings to a Kohen who is a Chaver a barrel of wine of Truma, or oil, lo yikabel enemy man, you're not allowed to accept it from him, because at that point already it's after the season. We're not so confident that...
What is it?
After the Gittis Vahabadim. After the pressing time.
Even though he saved it,
we're not sure. When it comes to Kodesh, we can accept that he saved it, that he saved it for Tara, because Ama Oret are careful about Kodesh. But when it comes to truma, we can't necessarily assume that, and therefore we don't allow it. But you can tell the Amoret, go take that barrel back home, keep it by you until the next pressing time, and then you can bring it to me. Once the Chachamim made the takana that you can only accept it from them certain times a year, then we apply that across the board.
So it would be coming to
it. So to speak.
And then it becomes...
Not really tameh. It's not that it actually became... I mean, if it actually became tameh, there's no way that it would become tahor. But we don't want to allow the chaver to accept it. We don't want to allow the chaver to accept it out of season.
When was it made? At the right time?
It was made at the right time. That's everybody crosses them at the same time, yeah.
But he was delayed until
he brought it to the Kohen, it was delayed, yeah. The im amalo, and if the amaret tells the kohen, he frashed the socha revius kodesh. I set aside in this barrel a revius of kodesh. Rashi says revius lug shemen, specifically a revius of a lug of oil. Then we believe him, because once he's believed about the kodesh, we just said that we accept what an amaret is doing as far as kodesh any time during the year. Then we accept that once he's being careful to be careful with this barrel because of the kodesh, then he'll be careful because of the truma as well. Now, what are we talking about? There's a number of different possibilities. One idea is that it's similar to the next case that the Mishnah is going to be talking about, where the person. This is how Tosfos explains it, in the Tosfos and Zvachim that discusses it, is the idea that the Amoret says, when I prepared this barrel, I intended that a revius of the wine or the oil in it is going to be used for Kodesh, and the rest of it will be used, and the rest of it, out of the rest of the barrel, some part of it will be Truma, and the rest will be
Chol. Saying that means he was hiring.
Well, obviously he made it for Tara because they were all Matara themselves anyway. What we're saying is, that was the whole point. We said that Bashaka Gidjas Vabadim, during the pressing season, they're Matara themselves. That's what we just said.
Because it's supervised, we said.
Yes, but new. But that's the point. So now this guy went and prepared this barrel. If it was just that he's saying, I want to set aside some part of this barrel as Truma, we would say we only accept it from him in season. Out of season, we can't trust that he's watching it. Once he says, I'm planning to make some of it Kodesh, Then we accept it even out of season, because you said before that we can accept Kodesh all year round. We said Al Taras Yain Veshem and Kol Yemei Hashana. That's one way. Other Mefarshim explain that based on Rashi over here, who mentions oil, in those times, sometimes what people used to do is, in order to preserve wine, you know, you couldn't always make sure that the barrel is airtight, and if it's not, then the wine will spoil. Sometimes what they would do is they'd pour a thin layer of oil on top of the wine. And the oil seals in the flavor of the wine, basically, because it's not as permeable, yeah.
No, it seals in, but it takes away the flavor of the wine.
No, because afterwards you skim off the oil. You skim it off. So therefore, what did this guy do? He took a revius of oil or more of a revius is just the minimum amount, but it could have been more of oil, which he set aside intending to use for Kodesh, that he's going to sell it to the Beis Mikdash for Nesachim or use it himself for Korban Mincha or whatever. And he spread that. He poured that on top of his barrel of wine in order to use it to seal in the flavor. Right, the rest of the barrel of Truma. So again, since you have oil of Kodesh in there, which he's going to be careful about, because he's not going to let that become Tomei, automatically, therefore, we know that he's careful to keep the whole barrel tar. Yeah. Another din, kada yain v'kada shemen ha-medumos, barrels of wine or barrels of oil that are meduma. Now, usually the word meduma means when you have truma and chulin mixed together. Usually that's what it means. The Gemara is going to actually talk about, which I guess that we'll get to tomorrow, because it's towards the end of Amud Beis, that here the word Meduma has a different meaning. Here it has to do something with Kodesh, like we were just talking about, that there's some Kodesh mixed in with it as well. Anyway, Nemonin Alein, the literal meaning of the word Meduma is when you have Truma and Chulin mixed together. The Torah, when it describes in one place where the Torah talks about Truma, it uses the word Dim'achal. Malayach covered Dim'achal Loisa'achal. So from that, the Chachamim got the word meduma, which means if you have truma that got mixed into chulin, where now the whole thing has to be eaten by a kohen because you don't have enough to be mevatel the truma. That's the usual meaning of the word meduma, but as the Gemara is going to say here, the word meduma means something else. Anyway, so such barrels, nemanen aleim b'shasa gittis v'abadim, the Amoret is trustworthy about the tara of them during the time of the pressing, and also b'kodim l'gittis shivim yom, and also we trust them on it for 70 days before the pressing, because during that 70-day period is when they start this process of being the tara of the kalim.
70 days after the start of
the 70 days before the start of the pressing, they start working on being the tara of things. Yeah, more than 2 months. Yeah, I guess it took a while. They had a lot of kalim involved, yeah. Especially, for example, a whole wine press, a huge wine press or whatever, it's a little bit
tough.
They may have to pull it apart, they may have to clean it. There's a lot of different possibilities, yeah. So therefore, once you reach that point, then already once there's Kodesh involved, you can trust them. Unlike with Truma, where we said only in the actual season of pressing itself. So Gemara says, the Yehuda ain't of a Galilei. The Mishnah said that you can trust the people in Yehuda about the Torah of wine and oil throughout the year, but not the, which implies of a Galilei, not in the Galil, not in the north of Eretz Yisrael. My time, or why not? Because there's a strip of land, the center of Eretz Yisrael, where Kusim live, that divides them. Now, the land of the Kusim is considered the Midrabanan, Eretz Amim, places where Goyim live are considered Tamei. We learned in Shabbos that at first, the first Zera was that the land, was that the ground there is Tamei. Afterwards, they made a Zera, even the airspace of it is Tamei. In a couple of places in Tanya, the Al-Zeva talks about the idea, the Pnimis and Yonim, that the air of Eretz Amim was full of clippers, that's why it's Tamei. Anyway, one reason why the land of the Kusim is Tamei is because or Goyim in general. In those days, Goyim were not necessarily careful to bury their dead in cemeteries. After they might just bury them wherever, especially for example, if they had a woman had a miscarriage or a baby or a stillbirth or a baby that died young or whatever, they might just bury it anywhere. They might bury it in the yard of their house. So you can never be sure whether there's Tuma around, and therefore Midraban on the place is Tamei. Now the Kusim lived across the whole middle of Eretz Yisrael. More or less the area which is nowadays called the West Bank. So therefore, there's no way to get from the Galil to Yehuda with Kodesh without it becoming Tamei. So therefore, you can't trust them on wine and oil to say that it's Kodesh, because in the Galil, you have no reason to be making it Kodesh anyway. You can't bring it to your Yerushalayim. Question is, you might ask the Nathan Bashida Tevo Migdal. Why? Why can't a person sit inside a Shida Tevo Migdal or various kinds of boxes or chests or cabinets or whatever, and then have people carry you there? You're inside there, on the face of it, the tumor is not going to get to you because you're inside an oil, and then you're able to pass from one place to another, and you bring along a barrel with you. The answer is Halmani Rebihi, right? But our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, Dama oil zaruk labshmei oil. He says that a moving oil is not considered an oil, which has implications in other places in halacha also. The halacha actually is like that. It comes up, for example, when every so often you hear cases in the news where there are airplane flights that fly over cemeteries. There's a problem with koyanim sitting on them. You've come across this, I'm sure. Because the din is that an oil zaruk, a moving oil, is not considered a valid oil, even if it's closed tight. Yeah. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shida tevo migdal. If somebody goes into eretz ha'amim in one of these boxes, Rebbe mitami v'Rebbe Yosi v'Rebbe Yehuda mitayer. So according to Rebbe, yeah, there's no way to get from the Galil to Yehuda to Yerushalayim. According to Rebbe Yosi v'Rebbe Yehuda, fine. But our Mishnah is according to Rebbe. Okay, the question is, fine, but why can't you bring the wine or the oil from the Galil to Yerushalayim, bring it in a sealed container? We said the other day that a sealed, the contents of a sealed container, even Beit Shammai agreed, we said that the contents of a sealed container, that through the food and drink inside it, if it's sealed, it's tzamid pasul, where it has a covering which is smeared on, whatever the exact the definition of tzamid pasul is, then it protects it from becoming tamimes. So do that. Rabbi Eliezer says no. Shonin, because the Tanoim learned the Tanoim, meaning the Tanoim of his time, the ones who taught Braises, they learn a Braise. Eina Kodesh Nitzel, but Tzomet Psil. That Kodesh, in fact, does not get saved by Tzomet Psil. If you have food of Kodesh or paradrum or water, for example, that's inside a keli that's Tzomet Psil, even though it's sealed and stoppered tight, and it's in a place which is tamimes, the contents become tummy anyway. The tumor goes in even though it's sealed shut. The literal meaning summit means fastened, and pasul means like smeared on or like tied on or something. The Mishnah in Kehilah in all this has the exact definitions, but basically it means that you have a fair way of saying it is you have an airtight seal on it. But nevertheless, if such a thing were to be ba'oil ames, and then the contents of it are kodesh, they'd still become tamei. Not kodesh, sorry, chatos. No, kodesh as well, actually. And you might say, what do you mean, ba'atanya, but we have ba'atnan, but we learn in a braisa, ein chatos nitzel b'tzamas psil. Chatos, meaning paradrum water, can't be saved by a sealed container like that from becoming tamei. My love, how kodesh nitzel. Wouldn't that imply that kodesh can be? So in that case, yes, you can take a barrel of Kodesh and transport it from the Galil to Yerushalayim in a sealed container. We said that Chatzos is no good, but it sounds like Kodesh is. The Tanoim are saying Ein HaKodesh Nitzel B'Tzomet Pesul, but why not? A Mishnah in Masechta Parah says that that alone applies to Chatzos. The answer is Loyal. Mayim She'enin Mekudoshin Nitzelin B'Tzomet Pesul. No, what the Mishnah means is to exclude Parah Aduma water can't be saved by Tzomet Pesul, or the ashes. But the water that's made to be used, that you're going to put the ashes into, that water you can carry around in a Tzomet Pesul container and it won't become Tamei. But once you mix the ashes with it, then it will. And by the same token, by the same token, Kodesh also. But yes, there's no way to bring a barrel of Kodesh through Eretz Amim without it becoming Tamei. How about another one? The Gemara asks, Ha'amar Ula, but didn't Ula say, Chavraya Madkan B'Galila? The Chaverim, the ones who are careful in Tumah V'Tahara, they prepare wine and oil in a state of Tahara for the Mizbeach. Meaning this is already after the Korban. But there were chaverim, there were Tumah Chachamim in the Galil who would make a practice of preparing wine and oil under the conditions of Tahara that you need for the Beis Hamikdash, Chul and Shanasu al Paras HaKodesh, like we talked about the other day, so that when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, they'll be able to bring these for Nesachim. So what do we see from that? How are they going to bring it to Yerushalayim if they're passing through Eretz Amim, if they're passing through the land of the Kosim? The answer is the Gemara says, no, we're not saying they actually bring it to Yerushalayim. Manichim, they set it aside there in the Galil. But they're waiting until when Eliyahu comes, he may show them there may be a path through Eretz, through the land of the Kusim. There may be a path, that you a highway that you can go down where you won't become Tomei. The Gemara is evidently assuming there will be Kusim over there. Put it this way, even whether there are Kusim there or not, you still have the problem of Medoda Sa'akum. You still have the problem that all these couple of thousand years they're living here, that they've been burying bodies all over the place. So, okay, eventually they can be metahar the place, but that may take a long time. Meanwhile, you're going to have a suffix. But Eliyahu may show that there's a passageway, that there's a path that you're able to go on. So therefore, they're preparing the stuff in the Galil now for if Eliyahu is able to figure that. Some of the Farshim actually do say that the Yitarena means he'll be metahar this land of Kusim and be able to show and then be able to find all the dead bodies and be metahar the place. Incidentally, we see from this that for some time after the Korban, and maybe even still in Ula, it sounds like even in Ula's times, where he was in Amorda a couple hundred years after the Korban, they still had Parah Aduma ashes. There are actually a number of Rishonim that talk about this. The Rosh is one of them, there's others, that yes, we see from this Gemara, and another, this Gemara is also quoted in Nida, that yes, they were able for a couple hundred years after the Korban to be able to tire themselves from Tumas Mes. Which you know, this goes back to what we were saying earlier. We had earlier in the whole Agadta there about Ma'is Merkava. We had the Arbah Shenichnas to the Pardes, Rabbi Akiva, and all his friends. How did they do it? They used Sheamus HaKodesh because they were able to, even though they lived after the Korban, they were able to be retire themselves, as we're saying over here. Whereas nowadays nobody does that because nobody has Parah Aduma ashes to be retire themselves. The Mishnah had said over Shasa Gittis Ne'emonanachala Truma that during the time of pressing, we trust the Amir Oretz even about Truma, that it remains Tahar. And what says it a mini? But I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, a Mishnah actually says, Hagomer Zesav, an Amir Oretz who's about to finish off processing his olives. Now, if he finishes processing them and makes them into oil, he won't be able to take Truma from them and give it to a Kohen Chaver. We want him to be able to give his truma in a state of tara to a kohen chaver who will actually use it in the proper way. He shouldn't make it tamei and ended up giving it to a kohen amaretz who's not going to know the difference. So what should he do? Yeshaya kupa achas. He should leave one basket of olives unpressed. V'yitnenol oni kohen, and he can give that to a kohen. And he can give that to a kohen who is an oni. Now, what do we mean a kohen who is an oni? Tosfos actually says that the word is not supposed to be ha oni. The word is supposed to be le'enei kohen. In the eyes of the Kohen. In other words, the Kohen can watch and make sure that they haven't been mukshel the kabel truma. And then the Kohen will take those olives and press them and make oil for himself. Other Mephoshim say that, no, we do actually mean the oni Kohen, because usually a poor Kohen is the only one who's going to bother doing that, who's going to bother taking the small quantity of olives and pressing them. A rich Kohen is not going to want to bother. Yeah, in principle, you could give them to a rich kohen. You could use them for eating olives, but most people in those days press their olives into oil, and a rich kohen is probably not going to want to bother. Either way, the point is, We're saying we don't trust him on the Tahara of Truma, even during the pressing time. That's what we're making him give actual olives to the Kohen rather than oil. Now, how does that fit with our Mishnah, that B'shat HaGittos, we trust them? Amar Rav Nachman, like Kasha, Haba Chorfi, Haba Achli. So Rav Nachman says it's not a contradiction. One's talking about early pressing, and the other is talking about late pressing. Early and late, meaning early is when most people do the pressing, let's say Tishrei time. Late is one guy over there, one schlepper, only got around to press the pressing is all of Cheshvan time, let's say. So then, that's already after Shasa Gittis Mabadim. When we say that you trust them, the Shasa Gittis means during the time when most people are pressing. This guy got to pressing them later. Maybe just the olive crop matured late. It could also be the olive crop matured late. Whatever it is. So we can't trust him. Therefore, he needs to do this business with the extra basket. So Rav Adar Ba'Ava asked Rav Nachman, what do we mean by early versus late? It means like the ones from your father's house, which means Rashi says, for example, his father, either Rav Adar Ba'Ava's father or Rav Nachman's father, had olives that matured late, and we used to press them late. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Like it's already after the season. Other Mepharshim say that the idea is it means that Rav Nachman's father or Rav Adar Ba'Ava's father was rich. He had a lot of olives. It took him a long time to press them. By the time he finished pressing the last of them, it was already aptly. It was already the late ones. That's what we mean. That's one answer. Rav Yosef Amar B'Galilah Shanu. Rav Yosef says we're talking when we're that Mishnah in Taharis is talking about in the Galil. Our Mishnah is talking about in Yehuda. Like we said, you can't transport from Galil to Yehuda because you're going to become Tameh. That Mishnah and Taharis is talking about in the Galil. Since they can't use them for Menachos anyway, for Nesachim and for Menachos anyway, because there's no way to transport them to Yerushalayim, therefore they're not necessarily going to be careful to watch them, the Tahara, and therefore you can't trust them on the Tahara of the Truma either, and therefore you need to give plain olives to the Kohen. Eis v'Abaya. Abaya says, I have a contradiction. Abaya says, Eivra ha-Yarden v'Galil ha-Rein ki-Yehuda, the other side of the Yarden and the Galil are like Yehuda in this sense. Ne'mon and al-Yayin v'Shas ha-Yayin, we trust them about wine that remains Torah, even as far as Truma, during the time of year when they're pressing wine. V'al ha-Shemen v'Shas ha-Shemen, we trust them about oil during the time of olive pressing. Avaloy al-Yayin v'Shas ha-Shemen, v'loy al-Shemen v'Shas ha-Yayin. We don't say, during the time of wine pressing, let's say, you know, obviously the guy is Tahar, let's trust him about his oil as well, or vice versa. No, we don't do that. We only trust for the one product that's being made right now. But anyway, we see that the same rule applies to Galil and to Yehuda. So it's clear that we have to answer like we did originally. It's not a matter of Yehuda versus the Galil. It's a matter of early versus late. Stop over here and we'll...